Just a brief statement to begin with. I think everyone in New Zealand has been watching what's been happening on the share market internationally and at home in New Zealand this morning. The uncertainty that we have with international conditions at the moment is a worry, given the fragile condition of the New Zealand economy. Very clearly, we need to be doing a lot more in terms of planning for economic recovery. The government has its head in the sand if it believes that just selling assets and borrowing to pay for tax cuts for the most well-off will be the answer to New Zealand's precarious economic position. We need to do a lot more. That's why Labor has released its plan. Changes in monetary policy, changes in tax policy, getting R&D up, upskilling our population. Those are the things we need for a really strong economy, and we do need a strong economy in such uncertain times.
What the effect of the meltdown? It's beyond the government's control. There's not a lot the government can actually do about this.
What happens internationally certainly is beyond the government's control, but what we can do here at home isn't. And, you know, the government does have its head in the sand if it believes that selling off our assets, borrowing to pay for tax cuts for the well-off, is a plan to protect New Zealand against uncertain economic times. It isn't. We need a plan. We need an investment in the economy, savings directed to the productive area, a better monetary policy, upskilling R&D.
Is it true that you're going to borrow, though, more than national, at least in those first 5 years of your plan?
I think what's true is that we pay down our debt and pay off our debt quicker than the National Party on our projections as compared to theirs.
So it's not true that you're going to borrow more?
Would credit agencies look at that in the same way now that we have the downgrade in the United States and fresh financial fears?
I think credit agencies would look far more positively on a situation where you have an ongoing source of revenue, not a one-off sale by the disposal of assets. That clearly isn't an ongoing answer. You sell them once, they're gone forever.
So you're not going to reconsider your current debt strategy?
I think the current international situation actually reinforces Labor's plan that we have an ongoing mechanism for getting tax revenue in to pay down that debt, not a one-off sale of an asset, that once it's gone forever, and you lose the dividend stream.
Were you implying before that it's not true that you're going to have more debt in the first 5 years?
Oh, no, what I'm saying is that we will pay off our debt faster, and what the credit rating agencies will look at is what the overall scheme of things is and the pay down of that debt. Labor has a very credible plan, and it's interesting that National hasn't actually attacked the credibility of that plan.
But the credit rating agencies will also look at your debt track over those first 5 years as
well. They'll look at the whole debt track. They're used to looking at things long term. It's only politicians and journalists that look at things in the very short term.
Mr. Gough, John Key mentioned this morning labour market reform as a way of easing things for businesses affected by the high dollar. Are you expecting to see more labour market reform by National?
Well, it's worrying that they see the answer as further cutting wages. Wages increased in the last year at 1.9%, inflation at 5.3%, and of course food prices at much higher than that. The answer is not to continually hit low and middle income people by cutting wages. It's about upskilling the population. It's about research and development. It's about monetary and taxation policies that will actually grow the economy.
Andrew Ferrier said at the weekend that bringing agriculture into the emissions trading scheme early, i.e. 2013, would increase the price of things like milk and cheese. Does that surprise you? Because you had apparently a conversation with him where he said something different.
I didn't apparently have a conversation. I had a conversation with him. It lasted an hour and a half to 2 hours. And they made the point very clearly that milk prices are set globally. If the price of fertiliser goes down, the price of milk won't go down. If the price of fertiliser goes up, the price of milk doesn't go up. And the same applies, for example, with another cost input, which would be the emissions trading scheme. Right through the interview with you, he said that prices were set globally. They couldn't be held responsible for it. I think he was hedging his bets for political reasons when he qualified himself later.
So if the price of milk is set internationally, do we need an inquiry into it?
Well, I think that you need an inquiry into the price of raw milk, whether because it's a situation where one supplier supplies 90% of the milk in this country. I think you need also to have a look at what we can do about the price as it affects New Zealanders. Why are we paying more for our milk in this country than in the United Kingdom, Germany or Australia? New Zealanders want to know why, in the country that produces milk, we pay more than in countries that have to import their milk.
So do you think that he was telling an untruth for political reasons when he said during that interview that it would actually increase the price of those things?
I think there's an inconsistency between his statement repeatedly that milk prices are set globally and then saying that one particular input might increase the price of milk on a domestic at a domestic level. He can't have it both ways. He would know, but he can't have it both ways. Either the price is set globally or the internal cost structure, including everything from fertiliser to emissions trading, pushes the price up. Actually, I think the truth is it is set globally. He said it many times over, and he said it directly to me.
Mr. Gough, do you think that the government looks out of touch on the issue of a milk price inquiry? Cabinet's considering the decision today. Are they the last of the party here?
Well, they're definitely the last of the party. You'll recall this time last week, David Carter ruling out a select committee inquiry. There's an absolute flip-flop. Because the government understands that people are reacting against, you know, the fact, for example, that GST pushed the price of milk up. The government seems to ignore the fact that ordinary working families, low and middle income earners, are really struggling with rising costs. Finally, they got the message when they were the last party standing in opposition to an inquiry.
Does your GST policy, though, you're not going to take GST off milk, are you?
What we've done with our taxation policy, as you know well, is carefully costed everything. We haven't costed in a reduction in GST on products other than fresh fruit and vegetables at this point.
Would you consider that?
At this point, we're being modest in what we say we can afford to spend money on, even in terms of tax cuts like GST off fresh fruit and vegetables and the first $5,000 tax-free. We know that we can afford that. We are not going beyond what we can afford.
Would you like to see this inquiry take place across the four different sectors of the milk market, so from farm gate to the factory gate to the wholesale and include retail as well?
I think if you're going to have an inquiry, you look right across the board, everything from milk at the farm gate through to the real level of competition in the retail outlets.
Do you not have Carter's advice is to shop around? How realistic is that for the average Kiwi family?
Well, you know, for some people who don't have cars and who are having trouble filling up of their tanks with gas, it might not be that realistic. But that's not to say that you wouldn't look carefully at the respective price of milk. I bought it as cheap as, you know, less than $3.50 for a couple of litres. And I've also on occasion gone into a service station where you're paying about $5. So where you can shop around. But that's not an option for everyone if they don't have transport.
Should retail prices be the what the select committee inquiry would focus on?
I think they should focus on everything from the farm gate right through to the competition at the retail level. New Zealanders deserve to have an answer to the question of why they're paying more for their milk than in most other comparable countries.
Leanne Dalziel says that she doesn't...
If you discovered that, prices were too high, would you then be looking at some greater form of government regulation to bring prices under control?
Well, I think you'd probably look at a range of different options, but pointing out why the prices were so high and if there were areas of price gouging would have a salutary effect. It doesn't have to be about price control. Generally, price control doesn't work, although you do have regulations in monopoly-type areas, and we do have regulations regarding raw milk.
And those regulations are the subject of an interdepartmental inquiry just at the moment. Do you not have faith in that? Leanne Dalziel says she doesn't want any select committee inquiry to cut across existing probes.
Well, I think you'd try to get the two working together, but a select committee has a range of different parties on. It's not an in-house inquiry by officials closed to the media. This is open, it's up front, it gives people the chance to come along and make their submissions publicly. It gives the committee the chance to question very closely people at each level where there is a price input to the final price of milk to the consumer.
Mr. Gough, Manna said over.
Manna said over. The leader says he's siphoning off some of the Labour support. Have you done any polling around this area, and is it a concern at all for you?
Yeah, we did do polling. It was called the by-election in the Northern Māori electorate, and that saw a massive swing from Hone Harawira as the Mana Party candidate to Calvin Davis, the Labour Party candidate. I don't know whether he's got better evidence than that to go on.
Have you done any more recent internal polling on
no,
that?
No. The real polling is the by-election in Te Tai Tokoro, and that showed a massive swing from Hone Harawira, the Mana Party candidate, to Calvin Davis, the Labour candidate.
When you're making your considerations, are they even registering on the radar for you? Are you concerned at all about them?
No, look, while the Māori Party and the Mana Party are fighting amongst themselves, Labour's very much focused on issues that are worrying people in the Māori electorate. The cost of living, whether or not they can get jobs, whether their kids have got the chance to get skilled training, and whether we sell our assets. That's what's important to the people out in the electorates. I think, if anything, they're turned off by the squabbling between Mana and Māori.
That's going to go on in the Māori electorates. Mana have said they'll stand in the rest of them, not just Te Tokerau. Is that going to offer a chance for Labour to come through the middle?
Well, Mana and Māori will continue to scrap amongst themselves. We'll continue to talk about the issues that are important to the people in the Māori electorate. That should help Labour.
What sort of prices do you think the government will get for 49% stakes in state-owned assets, given the current global economic environment?
Well, having a fire sale certainly wouldn't help. We're against a sale under any circumstances. What the government hasn't included in its calculations is that when they've sold the assets, they lose that part of the dividend stream that was otherwise taking the place of additional taxation. It's a dumb idea to sell your assets. Labour's totally opposed to it, and most people don't believe that it makes economic sense to flog off your assets, least of all at a time of international economic uncertainty when the prices would be low.
But does it become more unrealistic now because of what's going on around the world?
Oh, I think it was never a good idea, and it becomes an even worse idea at a time when prices would be depressed by uncertainty in the international environment.
How's your compulsory savings policy coming on?
That's almost a loaded question. We're working on our savings policy. We know we have to lift the level of savings in New Zealand. Labor's got a very good track record introducing KiwiSaver, building up the Cullen Fund. We want to keep doing that, but in a way that is workable and affordable to those who are affected by it.
So will you rule out a compulsory savings scheme like in Australia?
This is like deja vu all over again, Paddy. We're not ruling anything in or out until we've actually developed the policy and announced it.
Have you had any more conversations with Warren Tucker about the
relationship? I haven't personally in the last week. I have had complaints from the news media that requests that went in apparently before the National Party blogger, Cameron Slater, weren't received until today. They were given to Cameron Slater first, but I don't know the answer to that. That's a question you'd have to put to Warren Tucker.
When's the next meeting scheduled with Warren?
I think towards the end of the month, and it's my intention at that meeting to have a third party present at that meeting with the appropriate clearance.
They have the appropriate clearance.
I think that's important if you want to have a free and frank discussion, yes.
Have you got someone in your office?
I haven't worked out the details of that yet. You'll know in due course.
Are you going to ask the Prime Minister to sit in?
The Prime Minister would be very welcome to sit in. I'd love to get all the same briefing that he gets.
Who determines if this person's got the right clearance?
I've got a caucus full of people who in the last government were properly cleared for that sort of briefing. I've been getting those high-level briefings for obviously 12 years, but there are others in my caucus that are similarly approved at that clearance level.
What's the criteria then?
It's usually the sort of portfolio that you carried in government. I was Minister of Foreign Affairs, I was Minister of Trade, but I was Minister of Defence. All of those are portfolios cleared for top-level secret information.
What do you think of this new policy of transparency in the SIS and releasing documents that have been secret before?
Well, you know, I think the last thing you do with intelligence is politicise it, as apparently the Beehive did over the incident last week.
Did the Beehive do it, or Warren Tucker?
I'm sure the Beehive was... I'm sure that Warren Tucker didn't brief Cameron Slater on what he might ask for under the Official Information Act.
Do you regret in hindsight releasing the information where Lockwood Smith said that the nuclear law was at Don Brash would be gone by lunchtime?
That's not security protected information. That's pure hypocrisy, and of course I don't regret that. I exposed both National Party members for saying things in private that were absolutely the opposite to what they were saying in public. And you as a journalist believe that's the right thing to do, and I as a politician believe that that was the right thing to do.
But you still released secret information for political ends, didn't you?
Well, it wasn't intelligence information. It was a blatant example of hypocrisy, where politicians were saying one thing to you and the media and to the public and saying the absolute opposite when they thought they weren't being recorded.
Have you seen documents out of Gerry Browning's office about the Sarah Review panel appointment?
I haven't seen those documents. You should really talk to Clayton Cosgrove about that.